So you can't get enough about homesteading, right? You want to get chickens. You want to start your garden. You're so excited about this idea. Or maybe it's hunting. You can't wait to get out in the tree. You want to get a bow and arrow and get out in the woods. Or fishing. Or whatever it is, right? You have this new passion that you're really excited about. But here's the problem. Your wife, or maybe it's your husband, boyfriend, significant other, fill in the blank, they're not as thrilled about it. In fact, they're kind of like, yeah, you go ahead. I'm not going to be doing that with you. Yeah, sure. You can start a farm. You can get some chickens. I got enough work to do during the day. I don't feel like coming home and cleaning a chicken coop. Have you heard that before? No doubt most of us have been in that situation with one hobby or interest of ours where the most important person in our life, who we share so much with, doesn't share the same passion for this idea or this thing that we're interested in. So what should you do? Should you force them to farm with you? Should you force them to get out in a tree stand with you? What's the right way to get someone you love interested in your passion, whatever it is? Today we have an amazing example. How to get someone you love to love the other thing that you love. Is that too much love in the same sentence? I interviewed Josh and Heather of The First 40 Miles for a recent episode of Home Study. The First 40 Miles podcast is all about backpacking, hiking, adventure. Josh has been an adventurist for his whole life. He's hiked, backpacked. Heather, not so much. And yet, over the period of 17 years, Josh turned Heather into his perfect backpacking partner. How'd he do it? How can you get someone that you love to love the thing you love? Yeah, I don't like the way that sentence sounds. But anyway, here's the interview. Enjoy it. This is a Homesteady Pioneers only episode. Thanks for supporting the show. I planned a Skype call with them. This is what it sounds like when someone's about to answer my phone call.
You want
to
say hi?
Hello?
I'm going to answer it. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hi, Austin. This is Heather.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
It's a beautiful morning here. The sun just rose.
You guys are in Oregon, right?
Right.
I had some friends who were from, I'm saying it right, right? Oregon, because they made a big deal out of that.
Yep. Oh, right. Yeah, you can't say Oregon.
No, because growing up, it was Oregon Trail. That was one of my favorite games. Josh and Heather are backpackers, but they're also very homesteady.
Yeah, and we've had chickens before.
Cool.
Yeah, we don't have them right now, but just loved it. And we lived in the city at the time when we had the chickens,
awesome.
So we didn't have as many predators as you had.
That's
so
great.
A couple naughty ones. Right. Naughty chickens that were pretty smart. They like to fly out.
Were they Araucanas by chance?
Yeah, we had.
Of course.
We had the kids. They got to pick out the baby chicks every time. And so every year they would pick out a different variety. So we had one of everything every year.
Oh, cool. That's very
Didn't
cool.
we buy one leghorn?
Now, Josh and Heather live in a very beautiful area of Oregon.
No, we're not in Portland. We're out kind of in a small town, not too far from Portland, about 45 minutes away. So we're in
nice.
A little city called Newburgh.
It is a city, but it's a small city that's surrounded by a lot of natural beauty.
So we're kind of on the edge of town, and once you hit the edge, then it's all farmland and vineyards and orchards and hazelnut farms. It's really beautiful. Lots of people who are into growing their own, do-it-yourself type people. I mean, we're out west. These people are people that came out because they wanted to work hard, work on the land, grow things. In fact, the little motto of our city is a great place to grow. Grow tomatoes in their front yard and stuff like that, where it's just really kind of a small town with an agricultural undercurrent.
Well, we both grew up around Seattle. That's where we were. That's where we met. After that, we actually moved all the way to Syracuse, New York. I went to grad school in Syracuse.
No way.
Yeah, so that was cool. A couple of years just like on the banks of the Erie Canal. So after grad school, we moved to Utah, which is where Heather's parents had moved to. Yeah, we were there for a few years and decided we loved growing up in the Northwest and decided we wanted to come right back to the Northwest. So we moved back up here just over 2 years ago.
And it was really like the outdoor scene that drew us back here. We wanted our trees back. course, Utah is famous for skiing and the mountains, yeah. And it's so gorgeous there. Just amazing red rock down in southern Utah. So really great scenery there, but I guess our hearts kind of longed for the Northwest. We needed our trees and that fresh, you know, that smell of dirt and things like that. We just love the Northwest.
For me, it was the year-round hiking opportunities. I mean, we can go out in December on a family hike and, you know, with our jackets on, maybe some raincoats, and that's fine. That's so great. Just, all, you know, any time of the year, it's great.
The year-round backpacking. Did you catch that? That's something that got Josh back to the Northwest. But not Heather, because at the time, she wasn't into backpacking. In fact, for most of their relationship together, she wasn't into backpacking.
Well, Josh and I met in Seattle, Washington. We were both attending the Seattle Institute of Religion, which he lived in a house with a bunch of guys. I lived in a house with a bunch of girls, and we all got together a lot and played games and did activities.
Oh, there was silly stuff like chalk drawing, sidewalk chalk.
That's right.
The two of us grew a garden together in the backyard of the house that I lived in.
Yeah. We like to sit around the piano and play songs and sing together. I mean, it sounds kind of old-fashioned now that we talk about it, but that's just kind of the kind of people that we are. We're kind of a little bit more, yeah, old-fashioned and...
And I loved going hiking, of course, so I took Heather on this hike. And I was like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's, what was it? I don't know, 5 miles each way, 10 miles round trip, something like that. You know, you go up a few thousand feet to these lakes. Yeah, it'll be great. And I have this picture of Heather at the end of the hike where she just looks completely haggard.
It was rough. I was not a hiker like Josh was. I was more of a walker, like... I did family walks through the forest, but he's a kind of a hardcore hiker.
Yeah, so we get back at the end of that hike, and it's like already getting dark. Finally making it back down to the trailhead. We drive back to my house, and Heather just crashes. And so I cooked up some dinner. I made some fried rice. And so I don't know. She says that that's like the best meal she ever had.
Yeah.
I know we said in this episode you would learn how to teach someone you love to love the thing you love. And this is not the way to do it. Not dragging them into something that's over their head too much at once. In fact, this was probably one of the worst things that Josh could have done. In the beginning, he didn't see things from Heather's point of view. To him, backpacking, hiking, it was something he'd done since he was a young kid. And he loved it. How could someone not?
But then when I became a Boy Scout when I was 12 years old, like right after I became a Boy Scout, my troop was going on this 30-mile backpacking trip. And I just really wanted to go. And
cool.
So they let me go, even though I was like so brand new. And I think they were maybe a little worried that I'd be able to make it. And I just loved it. And it's not like it was easy. There was one day that I was actually hyperventilating. But the other scouts and the leaders of the troop, they recognized what was happening, and they were able to help me out and kind of, you know, get my breathing slowed down again, and I was okay. And so it was really cool to just be out, you know, in the mountains, in this rugged wilderness in the North Cascades, beautiful scenery that I had just never seen before, and also to have that group of people there that really, they knew what they were doing, and they were able to take care of me. And so I'd say that's kind of that spark for me that just hooked me on backpacking.
Those people helping you out, right, being in that position, did that motivate you to become like someday in the position where you could be a mentor to someone getting into this?
Yeah, it did. And as I grew up through Scouts, that sort of change really happened for me as I got older. And so as I was an older scout, I had lots of opportunities to kind of lead the troop and to help the younger scouts, you know, understand things when they're out on a backpacking trip. There was one trip we were on. It was like just a 4-mile hike. It was in the winter time in Washington. So it's like pouring rain and it's dark because it gets dark at like 4 p.m., and we hike up a few miles to this lake. It was actually called Heather Lake, believe it or not. And So I let the other group of guys kind of pick, you know, where they'd pitch their tent. And then I had to pitch my tent kind of up in this awkward spot. So they were on the beach next to the lake, nice and flat. And I was in this kind of awkward spot up a little higher between some trees. And, you know, I just made sure I was in a spot where the water wouldn't pool under my tent, because that's something I'd learned. Well, then overnight, the lake actually rose.
Oh,
the entire beach got washed out by the lake. And so we wake up in the morning and these other guys, their tent is just shoved up against the bushes, you know, and they've been completely flooded out by the rain. Just experiences like that help you to learn. And, you know, and the next time you know, okay, if it's raining and we're going to a mountain lake, we're not going to sleep right on the shore.
Josh's years in scouts trained him how to bring younger scouts and teach them a love of backpacking and of the wilderness. But there's a big difference between teaching Boy Scouts how to love the outdoors, these are kids who have already signed up to go, versus teaching someone like Heather, who had a really bad experience and didn't want to go anymore. How do you get someone in that spot to want to then become a backpacker and eventually host her own backpacking podcast? Josh kind of learned testing with his kids.
So they would have been 4 and 2 when I took them on this backpacking trip to the Adirondacks. It was just me and the two kids. I just had whatever leftover camping gear I had managed to keep with me over the years. So I had my old external frame pack, and I had my old Coleman tent and a couple sleeping bags. And I just took them to the Adirondacks, and I'd never been to the Adirondacks before. Had really no idea where I was going, but I'd kind of found this little trail. So we hiked on this trail for a couple miles and then set up the tent. There was really no campsite there. I just had to kind of set it up in the trees. But we made it.
They made it. And even better, these little trips into the woods with his kids taught Josh how to really share the love of backpacking with other humans who aren't avid backpackers.
I wasn't really supportive. I didn't enjoy camping. I'm not an adventurer. I didn't know how to go backpacking. I had never been backpacking. And so I didn't understand this itch or this drive or this, you know, 15 years with kind of no soul-filling experiences. I kind of feel bad about that now.
Well, I married Heather knowing that. Like, I didn't marry her thinking, I'm going to convert her to backpacking and hiking and all this outdoor stuff that I like to do. Like, I went into our marriage knowing that. It wasn't...
So this is the first point. Make sure not to miss it. Josh didn't assume that just because he married Heather, she was going to have to love backpacking.
It wasn't some secret plan I had or some longing, like, oh, I'm going
to
change her.
Josh did poison me by degrees. He started out, you know, doing these little walks with our family. Every Sunday, he always said, hey, do you want to go on a walk? And we always went to the most beautiful places. He found little trails. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. And then we planned this trip to Yellowstone. And we were like, well, I guess it's time to maybe update some camping gear. And so we did that, and we went on some practice camping trips. And the whole time he was just always very, you know, supportive and saying, what do you need to be comfortable? And what can we do to make this a great experience? And so, you know, little by little, I had these great experiences. And
so this is a great lesson in how to get somebody that you love interested in what you love. Don't throw them in the deep end. Don't bring them on the 10-mile hike. Don't drag them out into the pounding waves like I did to Kendra the first time I taught her to surf. When me and Kendra, when I was big into surfing when we, you know, were dating, and I dragged her out into the ocean with me, like, come on, you know, on my surfboard, yelling at her, come on, paddle, 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 paddle. And she's getting hit in the face with waves, and she didn't even grow up. She didn't even know how to swim. So I'm thinking, like, from that experience, like, she was like, as soon as we were married, she's like, I'm glad I don't have to try surfing anymore because I hate it.
Like, now that we're married, I don't have to do that.
Exactly. Like, so,
oh, no.
And then I think about this lifestyle, right? This farming and homesteading, and that is all her. I grew up, never had anything but a dog. My mom cried when she found out I was going to try hunting. Like, totally different. But this lifestyle has totally won me over. And I think about what you talked about there, that small doses, what Heather said about small doses of,
poisoning by
poison.
So don't kick them into the deep end. Instead, grab their hand and walk them slowly down the stairs. I actually get this question a lot from guys who write in. They'll ask me, you know, or guys or, you know, girls either will write me in and say, how do you convince the significant other if they're not on board? So give us some advice of how that worked, Josh.
Well, really, like I said, I didn't expect it. I think I was fine with the fact that, like, I knew who I had married and I knew why I married her, like all these strengths that she brought. And all these things that we had in common. And I was okay with the fact that there were a couple things we didn't have in common. You know, there were things, interests that she had that I didn't, and interests that I had that she didn't. And so, even though I didn't get out backpacking as much as maybe my heart longed for, I still would get out once in a while, and I would just take the kids. I would just load up all four of the kids, or take the three boys, or whoever was available that weekend, and just pop out for an overnighter. Made it super easy, like, you know, stop at the pizza place on the way to the campground, and stop at the grocery store on the way, and when we get there, we've got pizza for dinner, and we've got cereal for the next morning. Just super easy stuff. And I don't know, Heather, did that affect you at all, like as we came back from those trips that I did with the kids?
Yeah, actually, you always took tons of pictures. And so after the trip, you would sit down and say, hey, do you want to see the pictures from this trip? And they're so beautiful. And so part of me was really grateful for the weekend of alone time. And then part of me was kind of a little bit jealous that you had so much fun and that you took these really beautiful pictures, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to be there with you and the kids, and so I did feel like I was missing out.
And I think the thing that I developed and learned was how to make camping really easy, because I was taking along some kids, myself and the kids. Like, I had to pack everything. I wasn't just responsible for myself like I was when I was a scout. I had to pack everybody's stuff. And so I had to figure out how to make it dead simple, where I could just throw some stuff in the back of the van, grab some food, and go. So that meant that once Heather did start coming, I had sort of figured out, I had sort of simplified things to the point where I could just add Heather to the mix. I could say, hey, yeah, you come too. I'll throw in an extra sleeping bag, and I'll throw in some extra clothes and food, and we're good. Let's go.
So Josh, someone who is used to these hardcore adventure trips, learned how to make them less hardcore, kind of more plug and play. And that's what made it so easy for Heather to become a part of them. This is another great lesson for us. We need to back off what we're used to. If we've been hunting our whole life, or if we've been involved with farm animals, or maybe we love gardening, we can't bring our partners in on this at the same level that we are, because they're not ready for that yet. We've taken a lifetime to get where we are. So how did you learn to back off from the serious hardcore adventure trips and dial it back so it matched your family?
Well, I had gone on a lot of adventures, but as I was growing up as a scout, our scout troop went backpacking or went on a camp out every month, 12 months out of the year. And so not every one of those was some huge adventure. And I learned from those experiences that every one of those trips rejuvenated me. It wasn't just the high adventures Yeah, I mean, those were cool because you work up to them and you get all excited and it's this big, you know, the culmination of all this preparation. But each of those monthly campouts, whether it was a backpacking trip or whether it was car camping, I loved every one of them. And it didn't matter if it was rainy or it was dark or anything else. I loved being outside. And so I guess it wasn't too big of a leap for me, you know, when once I had a family, to realize that I could take small, short trips and I would love them just as much. And so I did that. Now, I do have to say, you know, a year ago was when we did our week-long backpacking trip around Mount Hood, and yeah. It was spectacular. Like, yeah, there is something amazing about those big trips. And I had gone so long without having a big trip like that, that it was really cool when I got to have that trip. But maybe I kind of forgot what I was missing.
Yeah, and some of that does kind of get put on the back burner when you have really young children. And Just getting out the door is one of the hardest things with young kids.
Amen.
It takes forever. And not only do you have to pack for yourself, you have to pack for them, and you have to pack a second set of clothing for them and for all the what-ifs that might happen. And there's a ton of what ifs with little kids. So just getting out the door is a huge victory. And I feel like we were pretty consistent with getting out on those little walks and those little hikes. And so that made it, I guess, a little bit easier for our family to transition when, you know, we were able to start doing longer hikes and do a couple backpacking trips eventually with the kids.
And when you're in that stage where the kids are young, it feels like it'll never end. Like it really feels like that's your life for the rest of your life.
So true.
And our youngest just started kindergarten last year.
Wow.
First grade. He went to like half day kindergarten the year before. So we had like 2 hours with all the kids gone. But last year he started first grade. So it's the first time that we have like 6.5 hours a day with all the kids gone.
Wow.
And that has really changed. You know, we're in a different stage of life now, and we have different challenges as the kids get older and they get busier with all their activities, and we end up running to, you know, cross-country meets and all those things that keep us busy. But we've definitely entered a different phase, and it just, like, you never see that coming. You just assume life will always be the same as it is now until it actually changes and you go, oh, whoa, something just changed.
Yeah, but you can keep those undercurrents the same throughout your entire family life. You can keep, you know, that theme of outdoor recreation or do-it-yourself or being, you know, working with the land, those kind of things. Those can always be a part of your life no matter what age your kids are or what their ability levels are.
Yeah, and you just work in different ways of living out those dreams in different stages of life as the different opportunities come along.
I see, like, you played a really, not played, that's the wrong word, but you played like a long game, and yeah. You've been rewarded. Now you have a wife who's joined you in your passion, but right? It was the long con.
But yeah, really.
what was it that made you say, even if Heather never joins me in this life, it doesn't matter? And then does that relate to eventually getting there together?
When we were first dating, it was like maybe our second date. We were just hanging out at her house one evening. And if I remember right, we made dinner together. And then just we sat and just chatted by the fireplace for hours. It didn't feel like hours. It felt like minutes. I mean, all of a sudden the night was over. Like, whoa, where did the time go? And We discovered that we connected on so many interests. I mean, first of all, food. We had just made dinner together and discovered that we both just really enjoyed eating lots of different kinds of food and experimenting with food. So food, music, and then I think just faith and commitment. Like, I knew that when we committed to each other, we'd be in it for the long haul, that it wouldn't be... Neither one of us would have to worry that the other person was looking for an out or something. That we were totally committed.
You guys have been married 17 years, right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning of a relationship, it's easy to feel that way. How, it's like the way you so well, I'm very impressed. You're like a good husband, a good dad. You brought everybody in on your thing the right way, even though maybe the first time it didn't go so well. How does that kind of long game mindset, almost just realizing like I don't have to force everybody, drag everybody with me, or on the other side I don't want to leave everybody. You didn't say bye to your kids and wife and go hiking. You took your kids. So how did you nurture that kind of long-term relationship throughout these years of not sharing that interest?
Well, maybe I can jump in a little bit.
Sure.
And share some
yeah.
of his secrets, because I've noticed a few things that I think, looking back, these were his cons. Josh is a great listener, and so and I happen to be a great complainer. So there were some times where I would say things like, that was the worst night of sleep in my life in that tent. I don't want to do this again. This is uncomfortable. Why would I want to do this again? And so he would actually help me work through it and say, well what is it? Was the mattress too cold? Was the pillow not lofty enough? You know, like, what is it? How can we make this work for you? What is it? And so I felt like whatever my complaints were, whatever it was, he was there to listen, and he wanted me to have a great experience. And that actually kind of motivated me to figure it out on my own. Like, okay, what is it about this sleep system that's making it so I wake up every half hour in the middle of the night? So that was a big thing. He also really encouraged me in my own talents. As he said, we really enjoy cooking. And so when I said I wanted to do the meals for one of our camping trips as a family, he just was very supportive and said, yeah, go for it. This is going to be great. I can't wait to see what you come up with. You know, the easy way would have maybe have been to said, no, don't worry about it. We'll just do Mountain House. We'll just get freeze-dried meals. Don't worry about it. But
yeah.
He was very supportive of what I wanted to do. I wanted to make, one of our best meals was that catfish, the fried catfish.
Yeah, fried catfish right on the Colorado River.
That was really great. So I kind of used my own talents and my own skills and brought them into his world of camping and backpacking. And that made me feel useful. It made me feel like I had something to offer him. And then also another thing that really helped was that Josh did the dirty work on a lot of our trips. So he was the one who put up the tent and took down the tent. He did all the unpacking of the van and the packing of the van. And so that was really nice that I just kind of, for some of those trips, was really just along for the ride, and he did all the work. And eventually I kind of said, hey, do you want me to help fold things up? Do you want me to stuff things? What can I do? And that kind of helped with the transition.
It really sounds like the secret to this, if there is one takeaway, right, is Josh, whether it was his wife or his kids, the whole family, he made it easy for them to come with him.
Yeah.
And if you make it easy to do something that's awesome, other people can more easily see that it's awesome.
Yeah, with no expectation of anyone, you know, having a good time. Just make it easy, make it fun, and no pressure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's one of our mantras.
He didn't say, like you brought up the mattress, and he didn't say, like, you know, come on, toughen up. Like,
I
do this all the time. He listened. Because it'd be easy to say, hey, I packed all the bags. I did all this work, and now you're complaining about the mattress.
Right.
But he also let the venting happen. And so he played the long game. And now he's got you guys.
So Josh made it easy. He made it plug and play. He didn't kick people into the deep end. And then when they were along with him on the trip, he listened to what made it harder for them to enjoy it. And most importantly, not only did he listen, but he made changes. He made things improve better for people. And over 17 years, he slowly worked at Heather to the point where now she wanted to go with him, not just on little trips. She wanted to go on week-long trips real adventures.
There's something else that played into this. As I was getting ready for that Mount Hood trip, like over the summer of last year, I was relearning a lot because I needed to refresh all of my backpacking gear. Yeah, so new pack, new tent, new shoes. I mean, all of that stuff on down the line because everything I had was old. So I was doing so much research, reading through the Backpacker Magazine gear issue, researching online, going to the REI website, everywhere I could go to bring myself up to date with, you know, knowledge that I had 20 years ago, but man, stuff had changed drastically over the last couple of decades in terms of the technological advances and everything else. And so I was learning so much. And one of Heather's key strengths is that she's a learner. She loves to learn all the time. And I think that this bug got under her skin, that for months I was just like saturating myself with new knowledge about backpacking. And she was watching that. And then she started kind of helping out with that. And then like there was the one time you were like, well, can I help you by getting some food for you? And so we talked about like what kind of food to get. And Heather's like, well, so do you want some eggs? And so, you know, whatever else. And I'm like, no way, eggs are not calorie dense enough. They're too heavy, da-da-da. And no, I need like really calorie dense stuff, 150 calories per ounce. That's what I want. And so all of a sudden she was kind of sparked to learn something new as she was helping to purchase the food for this backpacking trip. And so all of this was just kind of, I think, festering inside, mm-hmm. like all this opportunity to learn.
So you want
to
have chickens, but your husband doesn't feel like cleaning after chickens. But is he crafty? Does he like building? Maybe he could help you design a custom-made coop. Maybe he could help you build it or improve one that you have. What are the strengths of your partner? And how can you use those strengths to get them involved, even if they're not all in?
And then the moment came 1 week before I was to leave on the trip. We were at someone's wedding reception, and the guy leading my group, he like just came up to Heather and he was like, so do you want to go next week? And I don't know what happened, but it was just like this, I don't know. How do you describe it?
I don't know what happened either, but it was like this, something inside just lit up. And I was like, yes, yeah, of course I want to go. I didn't know that I could go. Yeah, then I'm going. And like that night, we got babysitting arranged. We got everything figured out. And Josh was like, hold on. Let's do a little test hike first to make sure you're okay with this. And then after that, then we were all set. It was a life-changing experience.
It really was for both of us.
How so?
Yeah. How so? How do you wrap that all up into, I think just accomplishing something together was really important. I mean, I don't think we've had something that important since the birth of our last child. It was just very monumental. It was hard work. It inspired us for a long time. In fact, it inspired me so much to the point where after we came back, for weeks, I could not stop talking about the trip itself, what I'd learned, what I want to do next time. And that kind of evolved into, you know, if you're talking so much about it, why don't you just talk to the world about it and have a podcast? So, you know, in that way, it really changed me. I have this new hobby. It's great.
I love it. It's a 15 years or more. Cause I mean, the first hike you went on, you were dating, right?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, how long are we talking from that first hike that was a bad, would you call it a bad experience? Heather, would you
rough.
Call it?
I was not smiling in that picture that he took of me. No.
Yeah, probably 16 years from that day to that hike we took a year ago.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yep.
Somewhere so there. play the long, for husbands or wives who want to get their mate into the thing, play the long con.
Yep. Lots of patience, lots of love. Listening. Yeah.
I love
it. Josh did it right.
And make it easy. Mm-hmm. Making it easy. Those are such good points. Whether it's because people write in like, I want a homestead. I want to do it. But my partner doesn't. And I know, me and Kendra know, I mean, some of our more challenging moments in our marriage have been, you got that goat and I didn't want to. You know, it can, it's a thing that you get into yourself or even together. It can cause friction if things go wrong or get hard. Mm-hmm. But I love what you talked about, that at the end of that experience, the uniting, you guys have been married for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes time in a marriage can make things, like you said, there hasn't been something that big since the birth of your last child, which if he's in kindergarten was 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, he's in second grade now. Second grade.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha. That was when he went to kindergarten. So even longer. So it's a nice thing if you come together on something, whether it's homesteading, farming, adventure, you know, hunting, fish, you name it, mm-hmm. sewing, you know, whatever your hobby is, your passion. If you don't force your mate, if you make it easy for them to enjoy it at their level and in the ways that they can, and you don't expect it, if you play the long con, maybe you'll wind up with your now Josh, you have your perfect hiking partner now. You did it.
I do. Yeah. I mean, like our anniversary is in January, which is like the, you know, cold, dark, wet, but she wants to go hiking. She wants to go backpacking.
So after playing the long con, Josh finally got the perfect partner for what he loves to do, and that's go backpacking. So take notes from what Josh did. Don't expect your significant other, whoever that is, to do this just because they love you. Instead, plan a way to expose them to it slowly, with nice, small experiences. Do all the hard work yourself and make it easy for them. Look for areas where their strengths can shine and they can really get interested in it. And at the end, well, you might find yourself like Josh. If you're listening to this episode and maybe you're the other mate, maybe you're the partner who doesn't want to do the thing, before you write off what your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is, before you write it off, the thing they love, just listen to what Heather had to say about what she felt like she was missing out on.
I love spending time with Josh, so that was a huge draw. I knew that if I was on the trail with him, then we'd have opportunities to talk, and of course, sitting around a fire is just one of the most enjoyable experiences in life. Those experiences that I have together with my family, whether it's at home or on the trail, I knew that I was missing out on some of those when Josh took the kids. And when he came back and told stories, I knew that I missed out on some really great family time. So that was another reason also that I wanted to be out on the trail with my family.
So if it's time spent in the garden, maybe taking care of animals, maybe it's hiking, or going out for a hunt, or just spending the afternoon by the stream side doing a little fishing. Whatever your passion is, whatever you love to do, I think what we can all take away from this episode is that we should all try to spend more time with those that we love, doing things that we love and doing things that they love. And if we do that, we'll be able to enjoy our lives that much more. Thanks for being a pioneer. Thanks for supporting Homesteady. I hope we're something that you love and share with someone you love. And I'm tired of saying the word love now, because this is by far the sappiest episode of Homesteady we've ever had. We'll talk to you later. Remember, the road is rocky. Make Homesteady.